You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Today, as we just heard, it's International Lunch today, and this is the second Sunday in the month. So we have a Connect Sunday, the second Sunday of the month. So connecting means that the idea is we want to connect with one another. Robin and I have been in the church for over 6 months now. And when we first came, it was really good. We've really appreciated those people who came up to us and introduced themselves. That's good, but we had to do a bit of work as well in terms of trying to connect, and it's not easy. And I think what happens sometimes if you've been in the church for a long time, there's probably some other people around who you look at and you say, oh, I've seen that person before, but I've never really talked to them a great deal. Well, I want to give you permission today because it's probably embarrassing, but I'm going to give you permission today to go up to somebody and say, hi, my name's Rob, and I feel really stupid, but I've forgotten your name. And they'll probably say, nah, I bet your name's not really Rob. And so a conversation started. Just feel stupid. It's all right to go and talk to somebody who you haven't talked to before or somebody who hasn't been to the church before. Just go and start a conversation. That's what we're trying to do, to connect with one another because we are part of a family. And we want to grow together and grow to be more like Jesus. So we're going to keep working on that, not just on the second Sunday of each month. That's kind of a special time to do that, but we can do it every Sunday, actually, or even during the week if you bump into someone at the shop or somewhere. Who likes honey? Most of us do. It's a wonderful food. Did you know that the honeybee is one of the most important insects in the production of food? But did you know that worldwide honeybee populations have been declining due to parasites, to loss of habitat, invasive parasites, pesticides, inadequate food supply? If you want to know John over there, if you want to know about honey, go and talk to John. You can say, hi, my name's Rob. I want to know about honey. And he'll tell you all you want to know about it, I think. What would happen if bees became extinct? Interesting question, isn't it? But the other question is, what would happen if Christians became extinct? If there were no Christians in the world? So last Sunday, we began a series called On Earth as in Heaven. It's a study of the Lord's Prayer. And we began looking at the words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we saw that Jesus invited his disciples and others. They were sitting around on a mountainside and talking about a whole range of things. And he invited them and us to pray to his Father by saying, Our Father. So his Father is our Father. I think that's really amazing. So we said last week we were going to look at five questions. Who, why, what, how, and when? And the first question was who? To whom do we address our prayers? And we recognise that we don't need a middleman. We can go direct to God. We can enter the most holy place boldly to talk to God, our Father. So I gave you some homework last week, and I noticed there's lots of empty seats today, so some of you must have decided that was just too hard and just stayed away. But I did get a response from somebody who had done their homework and sent me a text to say that they'd done it. Anyone else managed to look at the stuff that I asked you to look at last week? A few did. Excellent. That's good. And I asked you to consider what it means when we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does it mean in terms of my life, to hallow God's name or make God's name holy in my life and the way I live? So I hope you've had a chance to think about that and to pray about that. Today we're going on to the next part of the prayer to look at the question of why. So why should we even pray? Let's remind ourselves of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today we've come to the words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We started off this morning by singing about that. So why is this so important? And how does that influence the reason for us to pray? Why pray? Well, at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, we read of John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming of Jesus, and he proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then after John was put in prison, Jesus began his public ministry, and we read in Matthew 4, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" You hear those same words, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." The coming of the kingdom was central to Jesus' ministry. That's why Jesus came. The coming of the kingdom was part of God's cosmic plan from the beginning of time. So what's our role in all of this? Well, I began today by talking about bees. What do bees do? You might say they make honey. But making honey is, in a way, a byproduct of their primary role, which is pollinating plants. About 30% of all the food we eat is pollinated by bees, and about 90% of wild plants are pollinated by bees. If there were no bees, not only would we have no honey, but we wouldn't have a third of our current foods, and the economy might even collapse. I think bees can provide an illustration of the kingdom of heaven, because just as bees work away in the world doing what they do, the impact they have on the world is so essential that we couldn't exist without them. And while we think that their job is to make honey for us to put on our toast at breakfast time, the impact that they have on the world is so essential that we couldn't exist without them. Because what they're actually doing is not just making honey, they're pollinating plants. They're doing what they were intended to do. And Jesus has given us a prayer to our Father. And in that prayer, he's told us to pray that the kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it in heaven. That's why we're here. That's why we're here on earth, to be a part of achieving God's cosmic plan. And like the bees, there are many wonderful byproducts. There are many things that we do and so on, and that's wonderful. That's great that we continue to make honey in our lives, if you like. But our whole identity and purpose is to participate in Jesus' purpose for the kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me say it again. Our whole identity and purpose is to participate in Jesus' purpose for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth. What does the world look like when God's kingdom touches earth and his will is done? Well, let me start with a bit of a history lesson. One of my favourite books is on the topic called How Christianity Changed the World by Alvin Smith. He talks about infanticide was common in Greek and Roman world, and particularly young girls or babies who were weak or abnormal were regularly killed. But Valentinian, a Christian emperor, was so impacted by Christianity that in the year 374, he outlawed infanticide. Something that was a normal part of society was changed because of Christianity. And one of the outcomes was the establishment of orphanages that were run by Christians. The early Romans practiced something that was called liberalitas. And that was about giving to people, but giving because you'd get some reward. You know, I'll make a donation to this and I'll get a prize for it, kind of thing. That was the thinking between in those days. But early Christians, as a result of Jesus' teaching, practiced what became known as caritas, which involved giving to others for no reward, giving just because I want to give. And you see, Christianity actually changed the way people started to think about charity and how they care for others. And so as a result of that, we read that from the 6th century, Christians began providing care for the aged. They were the first to establish hospitals and lodgings for the sick and poor. And one of the principles that came out was that every, particularly in Europe, everywhere a cathedral was built, there was also to be a hospital or some place where people were cared for. It was because of Christianity that this started to happen in our society. From the time of Jesus, people were teaching, but the places of education was influenced by Christianity. Originally, monasteries were places of education. The only place where you could be educated was in a monastery. Great Christian reformers like Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon promoted compulsory education for children. And Christians from then on played a significant role in bringing about education, starting schools, and even starting universities. And then there's science. And some Christians like to say, well, science has got nothing to do with Christianity. But one writer has explained that from the 13th century to the 18th century, every major scientist explained their motivations in religious terms. Great discoveries were made by scientists who were either Christian or were heavily influenced by Christianity. Nicholas Copernicus, Gregor Mendel, Isaac Newton, Blaise Pascal, Michael Faraday, Louis Pasteur, you've probably heard those names. And then there's the law. Law and justice were influenced by Christians throughout history, and many changes were occurred, including the abolition of slavery. It happened because Christians got active in this area. Art, architecture, music, literature, all of these things were heavily influenced by Christianity, and we can still go into great museums and look at the things that tell us how Christianity influenced these areas. When the kingdom of heaven touches earth, individuals' lives are changed, but so is society. I started by asking the question, what would happen if Christians were extinct, if there were no Christians in the world? I think we can see from that history that I've just been through that it would be absolutely catastrophic. Since the time of Jesus, we have evidence that the kingdom of heaven has already touched earth and has radically influenced all of society. And that continues today in that you and I are actually part of this great movement. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." And I've just mentioned the names of some people down through history who have been influenced by Christianity. They're part of that huge crowd of witnesses that it's talked about in Hebrews. These people down through history, Louis Pasteur and John, whatever his name is, all of those people down through history, your father, your grandfather, these are part of that great crowd of witnesses who are watching us and who are cheering us on. That's what that passage in Hebrews talks about. And because they're cheering us on, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're praying, may we be able to do on earth what you made us to do, what we're here for, what God has planned for us. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, and your will be done," we're praying that we will be the people of God, the people that God intended us to be from the beginning of time. Psalm 149:13 is a beautiful passage. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." God has made us for a purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that's about achieving his cosmic plan by bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Matthew 13, verse 33, we read Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, if you look through Matthew's Gospels, lots of stories about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus starts them off. The kingdom of heaven is like, and he tells a story. There's some wonderful stories. And one of them there, he says, kingdom of heaven is like a yeast, like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. How do we achieve this? How do we get to permeate society, to see God's kingdom on earth bringing a change in our society? We do it through prayer. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Isn't that beautiful? We're not people who've gotten, we don't know who we are or where we're going or anything. We have an identity. We are God's people. And he's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, and he's given us a task to do. You can show others the goodness of God. Remember last week I talked about prayer as being that thin place between heaven and earth. And as royal priests, we stand in that place. We stand in the gap, if you like. And we appeal to God on behalf of those people who we live amongst. And we also represent God as, if you like, influencers in the world. It's a two-way thing, that role of the priest. The priest would be there to go to God on behalf of the people, but he would also be able to speak on God's behalf. And that's still our role today as royal priests. We're dual citizens, if you like. We're ambassadors for Jesus. This is our identity. This is who we are. We're called to live in this world and to speak the language of grace into this world, a world that's lost its way. To appeal to God on behalf of those around about us. To appeal on behalf of those who can't speak for themselves or perhaps won't speak for themselves to God. And Jesus invites us to join him in that intimate place, that place where we can stand in the gap and say, our Father. That it's his Father and it's our Father, our Father. And we can ask a simple question, perhaps it's actually not a simple question, perhaps it's a really profound question. What part do you want me to play in bringing your kingdom to earth and seeing your will done? Today we start 4 weeks of fasting. And fasting is about taking time off from doing something really important, because eating or whatever is important, but we ought to take time off doing something really important to do something even more important, which is to pray. So I've got some homework for you for this week. I've got two prayers. The first is, our Father, how do you want Albany Church of Christ to participate in seeing your kingdom come and your will done on earth as it is in heaven? We're going to pray about a senior pastor, and that's actually really important. But we don't, St. Paul's already, we can't get him as a pastor. And Jesus, I don't think he's on the application list to actually come and be the senior pastor here. We're probably not going to get a perfect guy. Not going to get a perfect person to be the pastor. But I tell you what, if we pray that we want to see God's kingdom come and his will done on earth, we're going to get the right person. And that's what we want. The person that God wants, who's going to lead us and help us to be the church that is actually influencing our society for good. And then the second part of the prayer, and this is the scary bit, our Father, how do you want me as part of this church to be able to participate in seeing your kingdom come and your will done on earth as it is in heaven. I said last week that these prayers are risky. It is a risk when we start to pray, what do you want this church to do in terms of being the people of God, and what do you want me? What part do you want me to do? In fact, it's quite easy in a way for us to pray, oh, I want, a new senior pastor. That'd be fantastic. Then we can all sit back and they can just do the job for us. No. We actually need to be saying the question, what part do you want me as part of this church to contribute? So there's some questions there. I've encouraged you to, if you've got a camera, take a photo of it. My phone number's down the bottom. Send me a text or one of the elders to let us know what God is saying at this time. Look, when we pray, we need to be listening for what God is saying. And if it's just a little thought that comes to your mind, share it with someone. Because if that little thought comes to a lot of people, I think that's a little word to us to say, well, maybe that's what God's saying. We need to actually hear. If you're the only person that's got that word, maybe that was just a good idea that came to your head. That's fine. But let's share it and let's hear what God is saying. And I'd love to hear what that might be. John 14, verse 14 says, when you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. And these are words that Jesus himself said in that prayer. He told us this is how to pray. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is praying in his name. I really encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. Who, why, what, how, and when? Who do we pray to? We pray to God, our Father. Why do we pray? Because God has given us the privilege of participating in his cosmic plan. Next week, we're going to talk about what to pray for. So please come and share with us next week. And I look forward to hearing from you during the week. Can we pray? Gracious God, it is a risk when we come to you and ask that your will be done in the life of our church and in our personal lives as we seek to be a part of this church. And I want to pray for each person here this week that as we put aside some time in fasting and prayer, I don't think we need to ask you to speak to us, but perhaps what we need to ask is that we will listen to you and that we will actually hear what you're saying to us. Father, I pray that this would be a significant time in the life of the church, that as a body we may have that sense that God is leading us to something and that you have a plan and a purpose for us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.